Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly.
When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff. With real hands-on authentication experience.
So when you see that shiny blue checkmark that says Authenticity Guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know that eBay's got your back.
Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other.
With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Welcome to Fat Mascara. I'm Jess.
I'm still Jen.
Still Jen.
I want to test my mic. Can I? La 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 la.
It's the morning, people.
Works.
It's the morning.
You love us when we're doing a morning recording session.
Yes.
This is a special episode, right?
It is a special episode. We'll get into that in just a moment. But we can actually get into it now. It is October. Mm-hmm. It's the first week of October, and it is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So we are doing a special all pink, highly informative episode. This is a pretty grim stat, but let's just be real. About 1 in 8 women, think about how all the women you know, 1 in 8 U.S. women, about 12%, will develop invasive breast cancer over the course of her lifetime. This is according to breastcancer.org. I don't mean to bum you out, but I like to keep it real on Fat Mascara. Mm-hmm. I think we both do. So it's still going to be a fun episode. Please listen up. Share this information with your friends, family. And hang in there. What topics do we have today, Jen?
First, I just want to say, yes, it's a grim stat, but there is good news. So we're going to have some of that.
Yes, thank you, Jen.
Too. No, and a lot of, we're going to talk about some products first off, actually, that give money to research, which is some of the good news.
Legit give money.
Yeah. So they're funding a lot of new research about not just preventative, but also treatment. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the pink products, but there are some good ones. And then my dermatologist, Dr. Heidi Waldorf, I spoke with her about some of the skin care concerns that women who are going through breast cancer treatment deal with. Your skin changes completely, chemo, radiation, what that does to you. So whether you have or might have to deal with breast cancer, have someone that's a family or friend, we have a lot of good tips for how to care for your skin. So those are our two special topics. And then
we have the incredible beauty legend, Sonia Kashuk. She's going to talk to us about a wealth of topics, including her life post-Target. You may know her products from the Target chain store, but she is a celebrity makeup artist. Ooh, she hates that title, but she works with lots of celebs. And she creates the best tools in the universe. And she also has some really informative words to talk about breast cancer.
She's a survivor.
She's a survivor. So there's a lot of great information here. We have a lot of fun. Please stick with us. And I promise you're going to leave this episode with so much to tell your friends and family.
It's the booby special.
Booby special.
Night.
Jen, I fly Delta all the time. Do you fly Delta?
I fly all the flights.
You do fly all the flights. I'm a big Delta gal. Well, last night, or yesterday rather, passengers flying Heathrow to JFK got a special surprise. Elizabeth Hurley, global ambassador of the Estee Lauder Company's breast cancer campaign, and also...
Campaign. It's fancy.
My icon growing up.
I didn't know that.
I was obsessed with her. Okay,
she was safety pin dress.
That's what got me. It wasn't even Austin Powers. We're just going to sidebar for a second.
Yes.
You know how Estee Lauder hired Kendall Jenner to get the millennials?
Yes.
Whatever the hell generation I am, I don't even freaking know. She was, like, when they brought her onto Estee Lauder, she was my Kendall. I don't know if she was the other kids, but she wasn't the other kids' Kendall. I was obsessed. I had my walls papered. I'm going to find a picture. Papered with Estee Lauder ads.
That's so funny.
Like Advanced Night Repair. Like whatever freaking...
Oh, remember her with water, the puppies?
Raincoat mascara. What?
With the puppies for
Estee Lauder pleasures.
Yeah.
Don't get me started. Anyway, icon, living, breathing.
So she got on a Delta flight?
So she got on a Delta flight, and she surprised the passengers, and she distributed pink ribbons that her friend, her mentor, the late, great Evelyn Lauder, co-created 25 years ago. People don't realize that Evelyn Lauder created that pink ribbon. Mm-hmm. And she started the breast cancer, the Estee Lauder Company's breast cancer campaign. So she basically was raising awareness. There's all these fun photos on social. We'll put one up. But the idea behind the campaign is that the BCRF, Breast Cancer Research Fund, they support research. And
that's the nonprofit arm. Still, Estee Lauder's involved, but it's the nonprofit research foundation,
yes.
Right?
Thank you.
Whereas the breast cancer campaign is the, like, raising awareness. So they don't say that anymore because we're all aware.
Right.
I think they changed the name, this year. It's just Breast Cancer Campaign. Continue.
So they do all this great research, which is so important. And if you buy these great pink products, which we'll talk about in a moment.
Love a pink product.
I mean, some of their greatest hits, like the dramatically different moisturizer. We know Estee Lauder Companies owns, you know, brands like Clinique, Aveda, Bobbi Brown, Tom Ford. Wow. Like the list goes on. They will... A portion of the proceeds helps fund this research. So for every $25, that supports another half an hour of research.
So if I'm buying like an Estee Lauder night repair and, 20% of that's going to BCRF, like...
It has to be the pink product, though.
Right, right.
And through the month of October,
exactly.
I believe.
I think their goal is to make $8 million in donations this year, which is insanely awesome.
Awesome. There's also a social fundraising effort. So for every unique post on Instagram or Twitter with both the hashtag, and guys, listen closely, but we can also promote this on our social and on our blog, hashtag pinkribbon25 and hashtag ELC donates from now until October 31st of this month, that will help raise money for it. So please do that.
I love when you just have to put a hashtag and it gives money.
I know. It's almost like free money. It's like, did I just do something?
I feel guilty. I'm just like, okay, I didn't really give my money, but if you want me to just hashtag this, sure.
I know. It's like Twitter activism that actually works. It's like such a cheat, but it's great.
And so it's not just Estee Lauder that supports this all month long. Like a lot of the beauty companies get behind it, right?
Totally. Now, I just want to tell you a couple of my favorites.
Oh, okay.
Because I want to hear yours.
Oh, wait, of pink products?
Pink products.
Do it.
I have two pink products.
Tell me.
One is, La Mer is like the goal product for so many people, but it's just really out of reach for, you know, the average bear. They make a limited edition baby La Mer. It's $85, still, you know, a mega splurge, but it's about 15 milliliters, but it's still a good size. And if you've ever used La Mer, you know you just need to, like, whisk your finger across the top, and that's enough because it's, like, caulk. It's, like, amazing. You know, but, like, you put a little bit on, and suddenly you're, like, you're all secured, you're sealed in.
By caulk, she means thick and rich.
Yeah, thick and rich. I didn't say.
Not pasty and filling your spackle holes.
Exactly. No, it's like you put it on, and you're done. You're in there.
So that's nice if you've never tried it and you want to. That's a good way
exactly.
in.
Exactly. And I promise you it'll last you a long time. And $17 from the $85 goes to
BCRF.
Exactly.
Dude, you just funded like 20 minutes of research. Good job.
Yeah. So that's a guilt-free indulgence.
What's your other one?
Donna Karan Cashmere Mist Duo. It comes with a little hand cream and a little mini spray. It's just like, that's one of the most beautiful scents to me, Cashmere Mist. And I love a perfume hand spray, a perfume like a mini spray.
Yeah.
Because I just don't think there are enough of them.
And because then you can be, you know, shopping around and trying different scents.
Exactly. And that one is only $20 and 20%. So that's, oh.
Oh, math in the morning.
Oh, help. 20%.
$4.
$4. Thank you. So not bad. And 20 bucks. I mean, if I tell you the dumb stuff I spend 20 bucks on.
Wait, we'll do that in another episode because that's a fun thing to know. So I just wanted to call out two products that I like that are giving to breast cancer research. One is Shiseido Rouge Rouge. Have you used those lipsticks?
Oh, yeah. Those are nice.
Good pigment load. Yeah. And the shape of the bullet is that like already swooped down so you don't have to like break it in. I'm really into it. Anyway, they support every lipstick in these three pink shades. It's like Peruvian pink, primrose. You can go on their website. They'll donate $5 to Cosmetic Executive Women Cancer and Careers.
Oh, that's a great organization.
Which if you keep listening, you'll hear a little bit more about because Sonia talks about that. Mm-hmm. She's super involved. So that was one thing I liked. And the other one was, you know, Sigma brushes?
Yeah, those are great brushes.
They're great brushes. So they're flat kabuki, which... it's not good for, like, applying a product, but if you have foundation on and you look too foundation-y, has that ever happened to you? Put it on, you're like, oh, my God, I did pancake face by accident, like, heavy-handed?
Probably 4 days a week for me.
Okay. Yeah. So you get the flat kabuki from Sigma and buff in, and so it doesn't take off the makeup that you have on. It just, like, sort of, like, presses it in so you don't look quite as made up.
Nice.
Anyway, it's a good brush. They have a special pink one, and they're donating the proceeds to Bright Pink, which is a nonprofit organization focused on prevention and early detection of breast cancer and ovarian cancer in young women.
Oh, amazing.
So nice from Sigma. So there you go. Pink products for the people.
I love this.
Yes.
Guys, please get on it. We're going to be on it. We'll be posting, tweeting away.
So the second part of our breast cancer boobie special episode, we wanted to ask a dermatologist what are some of the most common concerns of women that have breast cancer as far as their skin goes. So we reached out to Dr. Heidi Waldorf. The one I always hear about is dry skin, which she agreed that happens even if you're not undergoing chemo or radiation, just from your just having an immune system that's down. Mm-hmm. So you were so happy about one of her tips about dry skin, right? Washing the hands.
The Dove?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a big Dove gal.
She said, you know how you have to wash your hands so much because your immune system is compromised? Mm-hmm. Obviously, I'm a doctor. You can tell, by the way, I just pronounced immune system. Her trick is she likes to put Dove body wash at the sink because it's more moisturizing. Mm-hmm. And she said, remember, it's not about how harsh your cleanser is, getting rid of germs. It's how long you wash your hands. So you could use a soft, gentle cleanser, but sing happy birthday twice while you're washing your hands if you're really...
In your head.
No, I don't know. Maybe you could just like sing to yourself in the mirror. I thought that was a good tip too. So what else did she tell us?
So she also pinpointed those unusual suspects because it's not just like the cleanser that you're using. What are those other things in your life that may be irritating your skin?
Right, because your skin's more sensitive when you're undergoing chemo and radiation.
And one that I thought was really clever was fabric softener.
Yes.
Those sheets. And even like the liquid fabric softener too. She was into the reusable sheep's wool or plastic balls.
Right. So instead of doing a sheet, which sometimes have like tallow or lanolin or a lot of fragrance, and it coats your fabric in like a weird film. Mm-hmm. You know how soft your towels feel after you use a fabric sheet? Mm-hmm. It's not because it's like softening the fabric. It's literally putting like
coated everything.
Lotion on the fabric. Mm-hmm. So those reusable balls you throw in there, it just has lower levels of all of that and can be less irritating. I thought that was interesting.
That was
good. The last thing that I'm going to say might be slightly controversial, so definitely talk to your doctor specifically about this. But she said some oncologists are saying be wary of antioxidants while you're undergoing cancer treatment. I hadn't thought about this. It's very interesting. Antioxidants, we've talked about a bunch. They're great anti-agers because they protect cells from free radicals, environmental damage, aging. But think about that. An antioxidant is also protecting every kind of cell, including a cancer cell in some cases. So you should talk to your doctor if you're undergoing treatment or you know someone who is, because maybe putting on that really strong antioxidant serum is good for your skin, but it might also be protecting those cancer cells.
Mm-hmm.
So there's not a ton of research on this. And she also, Dr. Heidi Waldorf, she said, make sure to talk to your own doctor about it because they are still good ingredients.
Right. So we asked her about brands that are geared for women undergoing cancer treatment. she felt that some of them, you know, had some great ingredients, but you didn't need to necessarily buy a brand that is specific for women undergoing cancer.
Right. Like, it's extra marketing. You're probably paying extra just because it has, like, a call out. This is special for a cancer patient.
Right. She said the biggest marketing point is the absence of several ingredients that patients are often concerned about, like phthalates, synthetic fragrances, parabens. However, quote, you can find other products without parabens and phthalates. And also, this is a really important thing to note, she said natural is not by definition safer or less allergenic than synthetic.
Mm-hmm.
Think of poison ivy. Ingredients that are in their natural form may not provide the best benefit from their active components.
Like lanolin's another one. She's called out and other people have. It's in a lot of products, including like Aquaphor even. That's a sheep's wool extract, and it can be irritating for some people. But again, you should totally talk to your doctor because everybody is, you know, unique. You're all special and unique flowers.
Yes.
So you need to find out what's going to work for you.
Mm-hmm.
But hopefully this was a little bit helpful for you guys. We're here with Sonia Kashuk, who's a makeup artist that kind of doesn't need an introduction, also a beauty entrepreneur. You've been doing this for, can I say decades? Is that all right?
Many decades.
Many decades. And you guys probably know her from the Sonia Kashuk beauty line that was sold at Target or is sold at Target. But we know her because, I don't know, I think you were my first photo shoot with, like, quote unquote, real women.
Probably.
Because that's like your specialty. Welcome to Fat Mascara.
I'm so happy to be here.
Yay.
Welcome.
Yeah, no, I remember it was, we had to have like women that weren't models that were getting a photo shoot done. And my boss was like, you know who's the perfect makeup artist for this? And that was how I got introduced to you. And you made them feel so comfortable.
You know what? I laugh because I was always kind of the queen of clean. Like, you know,
queen of clean.
I love it. I think there's nothing more beautiful than a woman's face, especially with minimal makeup. So everyone, I just kind of got known as that. And even when I did a book years ago, Real Beauty.
2001. I remember it well.
All about no retouching. So that was like way before the whole play.
Yeah. So when you did the book, was it about clean, you know, let the face come through?
I think it was really just about embracing your own beauty, and whether it was somebody that felt better in makeup, then fine, we'll wear makeup, and somebody wanted to be more clean, or kind of more about exposing someone's personal style,
mm-hmm.
And personal likes.
Are there real women in the book?
Yes, absolutely.
Hashtag real women.
Yes. I mean, there was
a
variety.
It always makes me giggle.
I know. It's a little ridiculous, right? But what else do you call it? It's real. Like, and I almost like, I appreciated Dove doing the whole Real Beauty campaign, but, you know, anything that is a good message, you hear repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
So it's always going to happen. But I was proud to be, I would say, a forerunner with that.
Yeah. Wait, let's talk about, just back up a second, how
okay.
the heck you became a makeup artist in the first place. I don't think I know this story.
It was totally by accident. I was friends with a lot of hairdressers, and I was actually in school for fashion design. And I was doing a video for a very good friend of mine, and I was doing all the wardrobe. And at the last minute, the makeup artist canceled. And they looked at me and said, you know about that kind of stuff. You've got to do the makeup. And I was like, I really know nothing about makeup. I wore a ridiculous amount of makeup. And I ended up doing the makeup, and I loved it. I had no idea what I was doing, but the best thing about this whole story is the song, which I'm hoping you two will remember because I'm really aging myself, but it was Funky Town.
You like, want to take me too?
Yes, I am taking yes. you all the way to Funky
Wait,
Town.
We did the makeup for that music video.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So that was literally the, yes, the whole look.
Like, was the it makeup was like, funky?
Oh, my God, it was crazy. I look at it now. There was, like, a gold headband on, like, lame gold headband. There was blue eyeshadow. And it was crazy. I look at it, and I didn't know a thing what I was doing. But all I realized is that it was instant gratification. Like, you would do something. Like, making a dress was great, but it took time. Where it was much more instant with makeup. And so every hairdresser, at the time, you had to get licensed as a makeup artist. So I had to go then to beauty school. So I had to go to my parents and say, I'm dropping out of, like, fashion design, which that was a story just to get there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to beauty school.
Now, where are you from? Like, where, like, well, like, just set the scene.
I'm actually Floridian. I was actually born in Miami.
Okay.
But moved to Minnesota in 68 and lived there till 80. And then moved to New York. I kind of was a ski bum for a while, but moved to New York in 82.
Okay, so you told your parents, okay, no more fashion. It's all about makeup.
Yep.
Funky town.
Can you imagine? Like,
and you showed your parents the video and everything.
I think they did not know what to say, but I was paying for the school, so they couldn't really say a whole lot. It was like student loans, whatever you have to do, you do. And I had finally, like, I was one of those floundering kids that, a little bit of, you know, it was all about color, shape, and form, but it finally all came together with makeup.
Yeah. I think the first, when we might have done the shoot in your studio that you had downtown, and I remember walking in, you have these amazing photographs, and I was like, these are gorgeous, lovely art prints. And you're like, I did the makeup on those. Will you tell us about some of the photographers you've worked with? I thought they were just like, you know, pretty on the walls, nice decor.
You know, I think that people, I don't know that they know me, but it, you know, became more known through when I partnered with Target for Sonia Kashuk Beauty. But, you know, for years prior to that, from 1982 until I launched in 1999, I was a working makeup artist, which is why and how I ended up going into the beauty business. And I came to New York, and I have to say one of the people that I credit as a huge change in my career was Arthur Elgort, the legendary daylight photographer that I actually met him. I was helping Linda Mason, who was a big makeup artist in the 80s. And she had been booked for 3 days of German Vogue with Arthur and couldn't do one of the days and said to Arthur, can I send in my assistant, Sonia? She'll come with me for the 2 days, and on the third day, she'll stay. And that rest was history. Arthur and I hit it off, and he just took me under his wing, and he was really the one who introduced me to American Vogue and Italian Vogue and British Vogue. And I traveled the world for, you know, 15 years with him and Chris John, the hairdresser. And it was like almost like a rock and roll band,
Is
you know?
Is that normal for somebody like Linda to put her assistant up in such a big position? Like, I would be scared if I were Linda to be like, use Sonia, and then look what happened.
I think what happened is, you know, as a makeup artist and as an individual who I hope taught a lot of assistants as well, I think you hopefully can recognize those where you know you can make that recommendation and those where you can't. And I was grateful to Linda, but I also was grateful that I had earned her respect.
Yeah.
And that she had the faith in me. And so that taught me a lot in my career about teaching and hopefully supporting assistants and also understanding that assistants will come and they'll go, and it's important for them to open themselves up and go on and create their own lives as well. That nobody, you know, you've got to really, like with anybody, let them all fly.
Yeah. I think I hear, you know, just from talking to different people, some, I guess, I guess mentors, sometimes not always mentors, but the people at the top of the team or the mentor, they're not always as generous. So it's interesting that she put you in that position, and then there you go. You know, you have that connection who really opened you up for the rest of your career, it seems. You've worked with a lot of other people over the years.
I have.
Can you share some other folks who were a huge part of your life?
I would say Polly Mellon.
Who
legendary stylist, who Grace Coddington, big photographers from Michelle Compte. Oh my God.
I've never heard that said out loud.
Really?
And I don't think that's how I would have pronounced it.
Yeah, he was amazing. And, you know, I also have to credit my very, very dear girlfriend, Cindy Crawford, who has been one of probably my best, closest girlfriend for, as we both kind of go, 35. years, because I had the opportunity to work with her and, you know, with her on so many phenomenal projects. And I think most importantly, I realized that somebody has to put out a hand. Like, everybody needs help from someone to get somewhere. And I think if you don't recognize that a door opens, and, you know, we have to make ourselves walk through that door, but in life, you can never get anywhere without someone else. You just have to have the belief. I guess it goes back to what we were talking about earlier, like with Linda having belief in me. Yeah. A photographer has to have belief in you. A model has to have the belief. So it's getting that support and making sure that you recognize and stay on top of, like, that who you are and stay true to never kind of screwing an opportunity or screwing somebody. Like, I'd always understand that somebody has done something. And I'm so proud, I have to say, that to this day, the relationships I formed in those early days in the 80s are all still a part of my life today.
Yeah, I get that. What, how, you say the belief, making people have that belief in you, how do you have any, like, tips for people? How do you kind of foster that? I mean, obviously you can do the best job you can. Is it as simple as that? Or is there some other kind of, like, secret thing that you've
One thing that I guess one bit of advice I always would give a new person is never say no. No matter how big or small the job is, never say no. Because you never know what's going to come of that. It could be something so small and you're thinking, why am I doing this? This is, well, you know, whatever. But you never know in life. And I think be honest and be loyal. I think loyalty and honesty play a really huge role.
That's good advice. So unlike a lot of other celebrity and editorial makeup artists, you're somebody who's always worked on product creation even before you had your own brand. Mm-hmm. So you worked with Aveda for a long time, right?
Yes, correct.
Can you tell me about that? What did you do for them?
It was in 1989. Horst Reckelbacher contacted me because the funny thing about,
and
you know,
was the founder,
he was the
right?
founder, sorry, mm-hmm. of Aveda, and crazy as all get out, but, like, incredibly talented and a sheer genius. I mean, I think the more crazy you are, the more talented you are. I mean, I've had the opportunity to just work with just enormously talented individuals, but coming from a small town, the good news was they would always write up things in the paper, like local girl done well, or when they would follow me around the shows when I was doing shows.
Because he was in Minnesota,
he was
right?
in Minnesota. Yeah. The company happened to be Minneapolis-based, so that's how he had heard about me or whatever. And so he called and said they had a makeup line, but it was like they were having a really difficult time. Would you come in and help us and consult for it? So I was like, wow, how great. And I always loved the idea of art and commerce, like the art side of what I was doing, but I was always intrigued with the business side. Mm-hmm. So I actually ended up working with Aveda until 1997. So it was a long run as a, you know, yeah. And so it was also great because financially when you're working freelance, you know, you're as good as your next job. So you would wait for the phone and hope your agent's going to call with a job. And I, you know, I did do a lot of editorial, which doesn't pay a lot of money. So you might be doing phenomenal work and great things, but you're not necessarily making a lot of money.
Just for our listeners, like, you know, you might see like a makeup artist in Vogue or like, you know, Bazaar, but those aren't the gigs that pay the big bucks.
Those are not
advertising gigs.
Exactly.
Or consulting on a makeup line for Aveda.
Exactly. It is, you know, you have to do the editorial in order to get the advertising. But it just seemed to me that I was like one of those editorial makeup artists, which was great.
You needed those money jobs.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. And then it would always be the conflict that a job would come up and I had already committed to a photographer on an editorial job. So I would be making 2 cents and I'm turning down, you know, $5,000. Mm-hmm. So I was just one of those that wasn't necessarily the luckiest in my scheduling, but I got to do great jobs.
It goes to that loyalty you were talking about.
Yeah.
You're playing the long game, Sonia.
Yeah, I couldn't, you know, I wouldn't go to somebody and say, sorry, something better came up. It's
right.
Like once you're committed, you're committed.
Do people do that?
100%.
Is that like, and word gets around, right, I'm sure?
Yeah, and I think, you know, you can burn relationships that way, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Well, being innovative, though, it must have given you a lot of knowledge to launch your own line. So you stayed there till 97. You launched Sonia Kashuk in 99, right?
I did. But what happened was, you know, when the, it was Cindy and I launched Cindy Crawford's Basic Face.
Yes.
And we had.
CBT.
Yeah. I'm taking you way back, girls. I'm really.
No, I remember that. It was like a, it was like a silver book.
Yeah.
Yes.
It was such a great book. I still look at it today and it's still modern and mm-hmm. still has great tips in it. And that's where Michelle Comte worked on that book with us as one of the photographers, but did most of it. But Cindy and I always wanted to work on a project together. And so we decided to do this book. And it wasn't really product-based because at the time, Cindy was under contract to Revlon. I was doing stuff with Aveda. And so it was more application. Yeah. And the product could be whatever you wanted it to be. It was really like technique on application.
Was she into makeup?
Like, yeah.
Like, I feel like it's far enough away. Come on. Was she really into makeup?
She was, but in, I mean, Cindy's always been more of natural, like a supporter of, you know, your own beauty, experimental. Like, you know, I was thinking about that. I did her once for a David Letterman show, and I remember I did a really dark, smoky eye. I'll never forget this. And she went on air, and David Letterman was like, sent something about her black eyes.
My whole heart,
and I, you know, like, it was cool and it was very fashiony, but it's not one for David Letterman. Like, that's not his, like, he'll take any angle he can, but that was like one of those horrific, like, you just, like, want to die. She did look cool, but it was a statement.
Yeah, like I was feeling.
Oh, Cindy was super glamorous.
No,
always.
In like the '90s with the hair and everything.
Right.
I don't see like her like as makeup like
apparently,
her
David
herself.
Yeah.
Like I'm acting like I know her, Cindy and me, you know. But like to me, she seems more like natural. Like if I'm pitting her against like Naomi and Linda, I still see her as like the more, I'm sure everyone does, like more all-American, quote-unquote, like natural beauty.
Yeah, I mean, I think definitely the natural beauty, but Cindy was a real chameleon. Like, I used to love being able to do so many different makeup mm-hmm. looks, and I think when you are so close to somebody, you can experiment within yeah. that because you know that face so mm-hmm. well, and so it gives you an immense, like, canvas to play with, like, I've done so many different looks with Cindy over the years that, you know, it's like that. She had the confidence, I had the confidence, and it was just, it was like a wonderful playground. But I think you just, that's just part of makeup. And I'm still a believer, shit, it just washes off. I mean, come on. You know what
fun.
I mean? It's not a bad haircut.
Yeah, yeah,
so
yeah.
You can have a lot of time to play.
Was that book between when you worked at Aveda and when you launched your own line?
Exactly. That book came out, and I think Horace Scott wasn't so happy because it's like, you know, everybody wants endorsement about your brand or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then it was at the time when Bobby was launching and Francois was talking about launching and Laura Mercier. That was all of my peers. Like, my makeup group was...
It was the big like makeup artist line
exactly.
explosion.
It was the makeup artist explosion. And so, you know, everyone kept saying to me, Sonia, why aren't you doing a brand? You've been doing this for such a long time. Like, but the prestige market was already saturated, and I was like, I don't get it. But I had this, like, literally a moment when I was out with Cindy, and we were promoting the book, and I was literally walking up and down an aisle in a Target store, and I found it overwhelming. And I remember looking at the Revlon wall. And Revlon would have, I don't know, 25 shades of red lipstick. If you guys can remember, you would go up and it was just like, it was mammoth. And so I thought, oh my God, if I find this intimidating, how must the average woman feel? Like, mm-hmm. you know, where do you go? How do I know what to do? And so I was like, I know what I want to do. I want to partner with Target. And it wasn't like, oh, if it's not Target, I'm going to go this one. It was really because they had not done their design program at all yet. It was just, I knew them from
like
growing
up. Collaborations.
Yeah,
like
none of that was happening.
Yeah.
But I knew them from growing up in the Midwest. And I thought, they have a really good aesthetic, and they're going to get it.
Yeah.
And luckily, they did. I mean, in those days, it was a little scarier because you had to pick up a phone and call somebody. It wasn't like send the email and, mm-hmm. you know, hit
yeah.
send. But, you know, it was like that phone call. But I have to say they were amazing and they were receptive. And it was, you know, again, in life, It's all timing.
Yeah. Apparently, it's all about the Midwest too. Like, these
can you imagine? Then I'm back in the back in Minneapolis again.
Yeah.
So I have to say, Minneapolis has been really, really good to me.
Yeah.
I've got a special affinity for the Midwest.
So you, when you launched your line, we'll talk about what's going on with it now in a second. But let's just talk about product for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember the first product that you worked on? For, and this was, you were doing mass, not prestige. Mm-hmm. This was different because, like, putting a makeup artist's name on a mass product was kind of new then.
I was the first makeup artist to go into the mass market. I was the first makeup artist to ever go into the mass market. And really the first brand that kind of crossed that, like, luxury at mass. We kind of really helped coin that mastige mm-hmm. sensibility.
Yeah.
And also, I guess I have to say that in terms of product, I was the first affordable makeup brush ever.
I wanted to ask you about the brushes too. Were they from the start something that
100%. That was like a big part of the whole concept and the whole reasoning, because as a makeup artist, I could not go in and afford to replace makeup brushes when I would lose them. They were like literally $75 for a makeup brush.
Why
which
is that?
Super
Why do
expensive.
They cost so much?
I think it, you know, it was hair type. It was, they could do it. You know, and there wasn't anybody selling things direct at that time. There was none of that. So I knew that because of my partnership with Target, I could go direct from manufacturing right to retail. And so we could sell the most exceptional quality, but keep it affordable. So in terms of product and quality, I was completely the same as what you would get in the prestige sector, but at literally a third the price.
You cut out the middle. Yeah. So brushes were a big part of the line.
Huge.
Launch.
It was always a huge part of it.
What are some of your other ones that you're proud of?
For me, I think I was the first that did, like, there were so many firsts. I was like the first lip palettes, the first eye palettes
really?
Ever. Yeah.
That's at
right.
Mass. There were, at Mass, yeah.
There weren't really palettes back then.
I can't
there
think
wasn't
of
a
many.
Real. No, there was not. Palettes was not a big thing. And also just, you know, elevating, because I would go to buy, like, I always bought mascara in mass mm-hmm. market, but you would go to buy an eyeshadow and it would be like a stone. You couldn't get anything yeah. off of it, and packaging was terrible. So I have to say I'm also very proud that I really caused a uproar with the whole mass market for all the big beauty companies to kind of step back and say, wait a minute. And it really made everybody look at packaging.
Like,
it
do we need
at
a little
product.
Sponge applicator? Nobody's using it.
Right. It, you know, it was just, it caused everybody to kind of like, you know what, let's step it up a notch. And I'm grateful that I could help be kind of a, you know, put that out there.
What was the reaction of your peers, like your makeup artist pals?
You
like,
know
that's
what?
Genius, where they're like, Target.
No, ugh. I'll never forget. And I love him, and with all due respect, and he was probably one of the best hairdressers I know, which was John Sahag.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget. He looked at me and he's like, you sold out. And I was like, no, and I love John. And he was like, we worked together a lot. Mm-hmm. But I was like, 100%, I did not. Like, I feel like I'm doing the best deed for all women out there. Like, now nobody... Everybody can have great product, and they won't be pushed away because of price. So I felt I was doing a great deed, not like a selling out at all, if anything, you know. And that's one of those things that you always, like, when John got sick, I thought about it. And, yeah, it's like those moments that you, those, it's weird that you have those key moments that you remember.
Do you think he meant like, I mean, I hear that kind of thing when it's like, okay, like a music or, you know, like an artist or something, but like what, how were you selling out? It wasn't like you were making product before, like for like, you know, an elite few. You didn't make product at all. So I don't even know what he was talking about.
I think there was always a notion about mass market or about quality or about lesser. And I never
also,
was
like
a believer in that.
That
I maybe it was like, yeah.
Okay. So
it was good product.
That maybe
right.
he was like, it didn't understand the full scope. Because I mean, every single product that was in that brand I created, like
right.
literally sat at the lab, would spend hours at the lab. I never had somebody go in and create product and bring it to me. Never.
Right. He thought you were just like, all right, like,
could've
I'm going to put my face
again,
on the Cheerios thing or whatever.
You know, didn't have the knowledge really, mm-hmm. and just kind of, you know, and John also, I mean, God love him, you know, he wasn't American. He maybe didn't really know Target. He was like, you know, so you never know, but I think there was, I maybe just a preconceived idea about mass at that time.
Yeah. So you were selling at Target, and then in 2015, correct me if I'm wrong, they acquired the brand back from you.
Yes.
And you continued to work with them, right?
So what happened was, realistically, I think I started thinking, like, I've taken this as big as, like, I think I can take it, and where our my relationship was with Target of seeing what I wanted to do and maybe what they wanted to do and different things. And I just thought, this has been such a great partnership. It's time to kind of exit stage right. And, you know, it was a long time. I mean, that was a really long run. You think about, you know, Bobby was out after a very short time. It was, you know, nobody. I was one of the longest makeup artists that stayed affiliated to a brand.
Independently owned, right?
Yeah.
Like, she sold to Estee Lauder
right.
fairly quickly.
Yes, exactly.
So you owned your brand all the way up till 2015?
So what it was is Target and I were partnered on the brand. Mm-hmm. So it was a licensed deal. And so I owned my name. And it was a great relationship. They were, you know, they were a great bank. I never had to worry. They ran a lot of kind of the logistics side of it. I ran all creative, all product, which is why I think it was successful, because they did not interfere with the creative process or the product process. Because they weren't knowledgeable. Just like, I'm not going to tell them. I mean, I would tell them, you're short on SKUs in stores, but, you know, they had to do what they had to do, and I had to do what I had to do. But I think it just, I don't know. It was just time. Like, all of a sudden, it was just like, as quick as I knew it was time to get in, I knew it was time to get out.
But you did it gradually, right? So you continued to do a couple more collections?
Yeah, what happened was we helped to transition them to kind of set the pace and get them all up to speed. So I stayed on for 18 months of helping them transition and get people in place, because my office ran so much of the brand. And then as of last February, I was completely done, and they are now running the brand.
So any new products that you're seeing with Sonia Kashuk-Neem, you probably were not the creative director.
I was not. So, you know, it's funny because I'll like, people will send things to me, like,
I don't
on
like
my Instagram,
yeah.
Like, oh, at God. Being Sonia, you're new. And I'm like, nope. They're not mine, but enjoy them. You know, I guess I'm a little protective. And
what do
like,
you mean? For sure.
You know, so it's hard. But I only wish Target the best with it. And hopefully they'll continue to thrive and do really well with it. You know, it's always a little bit bittersweet.
Yeah.
Because it's me. And I think that the brand was so much about me. And I was so neurotic about quality and about design and about detail. Like, I would always say, oh my God, I would always.
Your makeup bags were insane. Like, you were doing a fashion collection practically.
Yeah. And I still, like, I treat it like that, you know? And so, you know, looking forward, I'm, you know,
yeah, what
Hopefully,
are you up to now?
I'm kind of enjoying some just downtime and trying to decide. Like, I kind of use the thing, I'm not retiring, I'm just rewiring.
What does downtime look like for Sonia?
It's amazing. I can really go low.
I'll bet.
I can go
down. What are you doing?
I moved to Miami.
Okay. Wait, you're not there today.
I'm not there. And I still haven't heard. I think my house is fine, but I'm really not 100%. I'm enjoying time. I'm actually a little bit stressed, because every day I think about, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? What do I want to do? And I think at this stage of my life, it's the next thing will be a passion project. It'll be something that is definitely very design driven, because, like, I love makeup, but to me, you know, red lipstick is a red lipstick, and yes, you can put it in a beautiful case. But in terms of what I love the most is, like we were saying, the bags and brush. When I was actually doing designs that you hadn't seen anywhere,
mm-hmm.
So like, to me, I'm very aesthetically drawn to packaging.
You think we're going
to
do interiors or something?
I would love to. I have
packaging
designs. Yeah, I have a huge love for that, but I don't know. It's big. You know, it just seems so crowded everywhere. So I think you have to be very clear and very focused on exactly what it is, because it just, there's a lot of, and especially even today, it feels like every day I hear about another new makeup line. So
yeah. That's for sure.
You know, it's a very different place today in the industry than when I started.
Yeah. Okay, so this is going to air probably in, well, it is in October, mm-hmm. just to change topics here for a second, which is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Yep. And you've been so involved with those campaigns over the years and just being really public about your struggle with breast cancer. So if you feel comfortable talking about it, I wanted to ask you, like, how did that inform the way you look at beauty? Like, does it change for you going through a disease like that, that, like, you think of beauty in a different way at all?
First of all, I am more than happy to share and talk about anything to do with breast cancer and what I've been through. And I am forever grateful that I'm, you know, on the board of Cancer and Careers, which has been really so important to me. Like, it's an amazing foundation that has really had impact for me. And it's really about, it's the only organization of its kind that deals with cancer in the workplace, of what are your rights as a cancer, going through cancer, what can you do, you know, what can you say to an employee, what do you have to say, and what are your rights as an individual? But, you know, for me, the main thing for me was that, being that I was with Target at the time of my diagnosis, and it's weird, I'm actually, it's 11 years on the 13th, today's the 11th, so mm-hmm. in 2 days, 11 years ago, I had my double mastectomy. And I remember going in and thinking, okay, I have to take this opportunity, because I was given a voice to help educate women about makeup. Share whatever it is you can share. And if you can, you know, it's a very personal thing, and some women are happy to talk about it and others are not. But I felt it really helped me to speak and share and give any insights or help. Like, I've had numerous calls through the years and help direct to doctors or questions or, you know, just sharing my own experience mm-hmm. so you can kind of help set up what somebody may be in for and understand that it's a journey and you will get through the journey. And it only, you know, as you go through things in life, it only makes us stronger. And if you can help somebody else through a difficult time, then it only makes me feel, you know, it's almost like, I almost feel like selfish in a weird way, like it makes me feel better to, so it's been something that I try to be as outspoken about as possible and share. And it's even at the end of this month, I'm going back in because my implants turned upside down.
Well,
and I'm going
years.
Back 11.
People don't know that, right?
That,
they don't last
it will
forever.
Happen. I yeah. mean, you know, I didn't know. I saw an implant and I was like, what is going on? And someone looked at me and it's like, it looks like you've got like Huey, you know, with like the football in your
oh
breast.
I'm
like, so oh and literally I'm going back in for surgery again, but you know, it's all an okay,
yeah.
no big deal surgery. I mean, everything is whatever, but you know, it's just part of the process and
yeah.
you stay on top of things. And you know, the most important thing that I always like to get out whenever I have the opportunity is the importance of screening. So as long as women stay on top of screening, you will stay on top of your health, and if there is an issue, you will get it taken care of. And but time is really important, and to stay on top of screening is that is probably like the most important message I can get out there.
It seems silly, just because we're a beauty podcast, to put this in the lens of beauty, but a lot of women, when they're dealing with a medical issue, it's like, I'm just trying to survive here. I don't care what
right.
I look like or anything like that. But did you find, being in the beauty industry while you were dealing with all this, that like actually caring about your appearance or trying to help others like look better actually helps you feel better at all?
100%. Listen, it's, I think it goes back to, you know, listen, if I put on a little bit of blush or some lipstick, it makes you feel better. It's that same mm-hmm. psychological thing as if you put wearing flat shoes or high heels. As all of a sudden mm-hmm. your shoulders get stronger, you feel like you're doing okay. So I have always been a believer that a little bit of color or a little bit of something, whether your skin looks better or just whether it's just as simple as a squeeze of an eyelash curler for some mascara or a little bit of cheek color, to just make yourself feel alive. Yeah. That's the most important part.
What's the best advice that you got or would give someone who's going through this right now?
Like if they have a friend or a family member who's dealing with breast, like what do you not want to hear?
I think, you know what, I think probably people don't want to hear, you know, oh, I'm so sorry. I think you will get through it. And you know, I know it's hard to look at somebody and say, you are going to get through this.
But you liked when people said that to you.
Yeah. I you know, and I think that the mind is so powerful and a positive attitude. I know it sounds ridiculous and you probably have heard it, you know, more than you want to hear, but I think the art of a positive thought and thinking plays a really pivotal role. And the more that I can let somebody know, it's going to be a tough year. Like, you know, from a cancer diagnosis to, you know, oftentimes treatments or, you know, surgeries, whatever it is one chooses, you're probably looking at a year with a lot of doctor's appointments and a lot of time. But, you know, you will get through it. And it's amazing how fast a year goes that, you know, you look mm-hmm. at things. And I'm sitting here talking to you two and it's mm-hmm. 11 years. I'm like, how is that possible? You know, it just seems like it was yesterday and I'll never forget that phone call ever. But as long as, you know, stay on top of stuff. That's all. I can't emphasize that enough.
Stay on top of your health.
Stay on top of your health.
Yeah, to ignore and just be like, I don't think about it.
Yeah, and I think, you know, most people think, they're like, oh, but I feel fine. Or, you know, I don't have time. Make time. Yeah. Like, that is probably one of those most important appointments you will make. Forgo a lunch. Forgo, you know, a gym.
Yeah.
But make sure you're screening mm-hmm. when you should be.
Well, we talked about a lot. We talked about career, family, health, all this stuff. But we can't let you leave without, like, asking how you look freaking amazing after going through some shit like that. But also, what is it, 35 years you've been a makeup artist?
I know, it's crazy.
What do you do to your skin every day? Tell us how to have skin like Sonia.
You know what? I have to say I'm a little bit neurotic about skincare. And I've always been... I have a facial once a month and have done it for probably 20 years.
You think the facial makes a difference?
100%.
What's happening during the facial?
It is dermabrasion. I'm like, literally, it's an hour and a half. It's dermabrasion, like, you know, where they're really, like, in a subtle resurface, yeah. Just masks, lymphatic massage,
gosh, so
steaming. Right. Like, I love nothing more than, like, you are going to, like, clean it out well, right? You know, you are going to get in there and clean it out.
Do you go to the same lady?
I have.
Who is she?
Her name is Vicky Moroff, and she's just been amazing. And, you know, I guess that as I'm 58, ready to turn 59, you know, you get older and you're, you know, it's weird when you see yourself aging, but I am a believer that I'd rather kind of own who I am. And, you know, listen, I'm all for little things here and there. I'm sitting here and it's like I'm not gonna lie, you know, have I done a little bit here or there? Yes, but not much. Not much at all.
What's, like, too much for you? Like, what's something that you would not do?
Fillers. Like, Botox is okay.
Yeah, maybe. I'm not a filler.
Or a facelift or, like, that kind of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I almost think it's weird, but in a weird way, if it's a subtle facelift, I'm almost a believer. If someone knows how to do where you go in and you, like, look like you went on vacation versus yeah. a facelift, it's the fillers and too much stuff that makes me... like, so scared. And, you know, and I mean, I was saying as we were just starting that I was with my friend Arthur Elgort 2 nights ago for dinner, and he's like, oh, Sonia, you lost weight. And I'm like, no, I've just gotten older. You know, that's what happens to your face. You know,
it
you lose the fat,
like the
and
ass
it
or the
all...
face, the ass or the face.
Exactly. Pick and one. I mean, I don't know. I think I'll let my, I'm, you know, it's not that great, girls. It's hard no matter which way you look at it. Aging is difficult, but beats the alternative.
Wait, so skincare-wise, does your line still have
skincare
products?
I do.
I still use them?
Still go in that store and buy them. I don't know for how much longer, but I do.
Can't defend you them. Come on.
I am still going in and buying some of my products. And then I also use quite a few of the Biologique.
P50 business?
Yes.
You're using that?
I use some of that. I use that at night, and I use my own toner in the morning.
Okay.
And then I use a lot of their serums, and I also use some Valmont.
Okay. What do you like from Valmont?
I use some of their eye creams. Three different eye creams I use. I'm telling you, if you probably lined up my counter, there's probably 25 products. I'm not kidding.
You don't use the three eye creams simultaneously.
Yeah, I do.
There's
a cream, then there's a gel, and then there's another cream. And I keep it kind of towards the outside. Well, look, I got wrinkles. I'm like, oh, my God, make those creams work.
Why the cream-gel-cream combo?
Because I think all of them together just, like, is a layering thing. There's the number two, the number three, and then the contour.
Like, are we padding? Are we rubbing?
How I'm padding. This? Always okay. Padding.
Padding in your eye cream.
Always padding. And on the outer corners, kind of more. Because you don't want to get too much into your eye. Like, that's not fun. But very delicate on the outer. And then I also use some vitamin C. The C Ferulic.
From SkinCeuticals?
Yes.
Yeah.
I think it's a great product.
Over your whole complexion, not around
yes.
the eyes.
No. Right. Whole face, yeah.
Okay, how long is this skincare prep process?
It's, you know what, once you go, I'm like, okay, one, two.
I mean, you're seriously glowy,
I totally
so it's
know. So I have it the day and then at night, and I use retinol at night as well.
A prescription or like a...
Just from my dermatologist, but it's not a prescription.
Who's your derm?
Ellen Gendler.
Mm.
I like, you know what, I have to say I was like testing different people, and I went into Ellen, and I was like, you look amazing. Like, and she looks real and like a beautiful woman.
Do you think that's
woman.
A good and, tip but, of how no, to pick a derm?
But for me, it is. I mean, I have to say, you know, so often you hear, don't judge a book by its cover. But when it comes to that kind of thing, I have to
a
say
derm,
I do.
You have to.
Yeah,
now,
I
let's
agree.
Talk about your hair, because you have this beautiful, like, mane of curly hair.
For 30, how long has it been? 40 years?
I remember your ads had your picture in them and you had the curly. Like.
Then I could, you know why I always did it? So I could shove my brushes in my hair when I was working.
Yeah, like you were the top knot before the thing.
Yeah.
Oh
my God. I was a top knot way before a top knot.
So what's the deal?
And now you'd think I'm kidding, but I can pull tighter and tighter and it does help a little bit. No fillers. But just pull that ponytail a little tighter.
Natural facelift. What are you using in your
Orbe.
Hair?
Super
shiny. Oh, yeah, that was a dumb question.
Well, you never know. You never know. But I do. I love the Super Shine because I cannot stand if something feels
super
crunchy.
Shine spray?
Is no,
it super
it's a moisture cream.
Oh, okay. I didn't know.
Yeah,
okay.
Just moisture cream. Super because shine, I cannot, cream. Like, if anything gets remotely crunchy, it freaks me out.
Okay. I've always wanted to ask this, and now I'm going to because that's what fat mascara is for. Is there a rubber band in there?
There
or
is.
Bobby pins?
One rubber band, and then,
you
I have
pull
one.
Through.
No, and I pull it through, and then I have one clip.
Oh.
Just
oh.
to hold it.
That's like a U-pin like, almost.
Whatever it's called. I don't know. But I usually don't even have that because, you know, but literally it's like sometimes it can get a little tilted to one side
How
or whatever.
How much hair is in there if you take that down?
Well, now it's been,
it's
so
much fun.
Oh my God, you guys
fun.
Would die if you saw it. Like,
oh my God, I would love that.
Oh my God, I look crazy.
Like Grace Coddington eating her heart out. That'd be so cool.
Yeah. Grace and I have very, like, it's very Grace.
Now, what, do you color? Do you color your hair?
Yeah, absolutely. I color it. I would be very gray.
Really?
Okay. I was like, God, I wonder if I should try. My kids are like, no. Don't think so. Like, don't even think about it. So now I'm going to Marie Robinson because they opened a place in Miami. So I can have consistency between, because sometimes you get really messed up when you're like living in New York and then going to Miami. It's like, oh my God, it becomes, I look like a wreck. But now I've got consistency.
I can't imagine her looking like a wreck.
No,
like,
I mean, you're kind of in the business. I'm sure you could find someone to fix it for you.
Yeah.
Like with
no,
all your
some,
friends.
I got back from Miami and someone's like, you're so blonde. And I was like, oh my God. You know, you lose perspective.
Yeah,
that mirror plays a funky thing. That's why, you know, as girlfriends, you always have to tell somebody when it's like too much or whatever. You got to say something.
We try and keep it real with each other,
yeah.
for sure. Remember, I was like, just a shaping.
Oh, yeah. I'm going tomorrow. I'm going tomorrow.
It's time for a haircut.
Yeah.
Okay, we can't let anybody leave without talking fragrance. You did a fragrance, actually, I remember. What do you wear now? Like, what are some of your
favorites? You know, there's a new one that my husband bought me, and I love it, and it's very... I think it's Amouge, A-M-O-U-G-E, something mm-hmm. like that. But it's like a
there
very...
There might be an A in there. Yes, another A. But, mm-hmm.
It's which something like it, that.
Which one?
Oh, shit.
Another guest had mentioned that for you.
I don't remember the name of the one I have, but it's like, first of all, I think the packaging is so chic and so beautiful. They're very complicated scents, and yeah, I'm a huge fan.
We're gonna have to check your cabinet for the blog so we know which.
Yeah,
one.
Yeah,
sure.
I will. I'll let
and
you know.
He picks it out, and he has good taste.
He
nice.
Loves That's fragrance. Daniel is like what he is wear? A fragrance junkie. He buys fragrance like. I mean, he wears his own because Orbe does have a fragrance, but he's constantly checking fragrances as well. So literally, I think his fragrance assortment is more than mine.
Keeping it all in the family.
Very cool.
Yeah.
This was good.
Yeah, we got deep, didn't we?
I know.
And then shallow. But it's,
it
but
was
it's all
fun.
Been fun. Thank you so much for coming and filling us in on what's going on in your life.
Thank you. Hopefully more to come. You
of
never
course.
Know.
You'll come back.
I'll be back.
I feel,
oh,
like
yeah.
you've, I feel like you've done a lot.
I know everyone. I keep hearing everyone talking about their third act. I'm like, oh come on. I got to be there.
We'll give you some downtime. Go to my ad.
Okay.
Put on some sunscreen. Chill out. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks.
So fun.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It's time to raise a wand. Also, it was awesome to have Sonia here. That was a great interview.
That was great.
So, happy Booby Special Day in October. What are you raising a wand to?
Jen, what are you raising a wand to?
Oh, okay.
Nice try.
Okay. So, longtime listeners will remember last year when it got cold out, I talked about my favorite fruit snack of the season. It was clementines. I'm a seasonal fruit lover, okay?
Is it kumquats right now?
No, it's a Honeycrisp apple. Who does not love a Honeycrisp? Right? Our producer's like shaking in the background.
They're enormous.
This is the thing about apples. I'm really about to go into this right now. Apples are good, right? They can get mealy at other times of the year. We are in peak apple season, people. I don't know if you live in the Northeast like us. Even if you don't, we're shipping our apples all over the country and the world. Our New York apples are delicious. They're just so good right now and crisp and juicy. And I'm calling out Honeycrisp. Like a Fuji, too, sometimes. Maybe a Granny Smith.
Do you eat them alone or do you put some peanut butter on them?
No, I just bite into it all crisp. I don't even need to cut it. I like it whole, the way nature meant it to be.
I used to eat apples all the time, and I used to eat the core, and someone looked at me like I was a
I have
demon.
A friend who does that. The seeds, too?
No, I spit the seeds out.
But, like, you went really, really close to
yeah,
it. Was like
and
a
someone
nub.
Looked at me like I ate their baby.
Yeah, you're like a vampire or something. I leave a nice, perfect, like, you know, that weird hourglassy shape that's left when you eat out
no
all
waste,
the good
Jen. Zero waste policy.
Zero waste. You're carbon net positive over there.
Exactly.
Okay, I hope you're doing a beauty product because
not doing a beauty product.
No.
You know what? No, let's keep it fresh.
We're raising ones to apples and.
I have an Instagram account that I really love, The Hair Historian.
Okay, that's semi-beauty then.
Yeah, exactly. So it marries my love of art history with my love of beauty. And it's all great hair. It's all great, like, paintings and, you know, illustrations and sketches.
Oh, cool.
And there's no photography. So Hair Historian, is this intentional? I think it might be. I mean, it would mess up the grid. Look at this. All of this. At The Hair Historian. No funky spellings. Just the most amazing styles. Like, look at this gorgeous pre-Raphaelite hair.
Pre-Raphaelite?
Look at that.
Raphaelite.
Stunning. Everything is... I don't see any modern art in here yet. I don't know. Maybe I'm not looking hard enough. But just really cool. Like, I just kind of get lost in this.
Now, are you going to re... Oh, please do not be doing the... What was that? That was like John Adams' wife with some weird curly cues there.
No, this is an inspiration for my own hair. But just the styles are really wild. And some of them are actually... You know what? Maybe some of them are a little inspiring.
That's
a little
bit wedding, hair.
Wedding
hair.
Vogue 1950. So there is some contemporary art.
Okay. That's a cool account.
But it's a great account. It's really creative. I think I just saw Picasso. It's really, really, really that was the most like, that was like out of a satire. I think I just saw Picasso. I just think it's really creative and fun, and I was really happy to discover it. At The Hair Historian.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you so much for listening. We're growing because of people like you telling your friends and fam and all that. But if you really want to help us out, which would be amazing, please go over to iTunes and write us a little review or just throw us some stars.
5, please.
That would be incredible.
And if you want to know where to find any of the people or places or things we talked about, go to fatmascara.com and check out our blog. You can follow us on all the social channels at fatmascara or email us at info@fatmascara.com.
We'll even read your letters on the air.
So profesh.
So profesh.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.